Chapter 56, Eli and His Wicked Sons. Eli, priest and judge in Israel, wielded a great influence over the tribes of Israel. But he did not rule his own household. He was an indulgent father. He did not correct the evil habits and passions of his children. Rather than contend with them, he would give them their own way. The priest and judge of Israel had not been left in darkness as to the duty of governing the children God had given to his care. But Eli shrank from this duty, because it involved crossing the will of his sons, and would make it necessary to punish and deny them. He indulged his children in whatever they desired and neglected the work of fitting them for the service of God and the duties of life. The father became subject to the children. His sons had no proper appreciation of the character of God or of the sacredness of His law. From childhood they had been accustomed to the sanctuary and its service, but they had lost all sense of its holiness and significance. The father had not checked their disrespect for the solemn services, and when they reached manhood they were full of the deadly fruits of skepticism and rebellion. Though wholly unfit, they were placed as priests in the sanctuary to minister before God. These wicked men carried their disregard of authority into the service of God. The sacrifices, pointing forward to the death of Christ, were designed to preserve in the hearts of the people faith in the Redeemer to come. Hence it was of the greatest importance that the Lord's directions concerning them be strictly heeded. In the peace offerings, the fat alone was to be burned upon the altar. A certain specified portion was reserved for the priests, but the greater part was returned to the offerer to be eaten by him and his friends in a sacrificial feast. Thus all hearts were to be directed in gratitude and faith to the great sacrifice that was to take away the sin of the world. The sons of Eli, not content with the part of the peace offerings allotted them, demanded an additional portion. These sacrifices gave the priests an opportunity to enrich themselves at the expense of the people. They not only demanded more than their right, but refused to wait even until the fat had been burned as an offering to God. They persisted in claiming whatever portion pleased them, and, if denied, threatened to take it by violence. This irreverence robbed the service of its holy significance, and the people abhorred the offering of the Lord. The great anti-typical sacrifice to which they were to look forward was no longer recognized. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. These unfaithful priests dishonored their sacred office by their vile, degrading practices. Many of the people, filled with indignation at the corrupt course of Hophni and Phinehas, ceased to come to the place of worship. Ungodliness, profligacy, and even idolatry prevailed to a fearful extent. Eli had greatly erred in permitting his sons to minister in holy office. Excusing their course on one pretext and another, he became blinded to their sins. But at last he could no longer hide his eyes from the crimes of his sons. The people complained of their violent deeds, and the high priest dared remain silent no longer. His sons saw the grief of their father, but their hard hearts were not touched. They heard his mild admonitions, but they were not impressed, nor would they change their evil course. Had Eli dealt justly with his wicked sons, they would have been punished with death. Dreading thus to bring public disgrace and condemnation upon them, he sustained them in the most sacred positions of trust. He permitted them to corrupt the service of God and inflict upon the cause of truth an injury which years could not efface. But God took the matter in hand. Eli's unfaithfulness leads to ruin. There came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Wherefore, honorest thou thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house, and the house of thy father, should walk before me for ever, but now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed, and I will raise me up a faithful priest, that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed for ever. Those who in blind affection for their children indulge them in their selfish desires and do not rebuke sin and correct evil make it manifest that they honor their wicked children more than they honor God. Eli should first have attempted to restrain evil by mild measures, but if these did not avail, he should have subdued the wrong by the severest means. We are just as responsible for evils that we might have checked in others by exercise of parental or pastoral authority, as if the axe had been our own. Eli overlooked the faults and sins of his sons in their childhood, flattering himself that after a time they would outgrow their evil tendencies. Many are now making a similar mistake. They foster wrong tendencies in their children, urging as an excuse, they are too young to be punished. Wait till they become older, and can be reasoned with. Thus the children grow up with traits of character that are a lifelong curse to them. There is no greater curse upon households than to allow youth to have their own way. The children soon lose all respect for their parents, all regard for authority, and are led captive at the will of Satan. The influence of an ill-regulated family is disastrous to society. It accumulates a tide of evil that affects families, communities, and governments. Eli's family life was imitated throughout Israel in thousands of homes. Actions speak louder than the most positive profession of godliness. Great are the evils of parental unfaithfulness under any circumstances, they are tenfold greater in the families of teachers of the people. Effective agents of Satan. When men use their sacred calling as a cloak for selfish or sensual gratification, they make themselves effective agents of Satan. Like Hophni and Phinehas, they cause men to abhor the offering of the Lord. They may pursue their evil course in secret for a time, but when at last their true character is exposed, the faith of the people receives a shock that often results in a distrust of all who profess to teach the Word of God. The message of the true servant of Christ is doubtfully received. The question constantly arises, will not this man prove to be like the one we thought so holy, and found so corrupt? In Eli's reproof to his sons are words of solemn and fearful import, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him, but if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Had their crimes injured only their fellow men, the judge might have made reconciliation by appointing a penalty and requiring restitution, and thus the offenders might have been pardoned. But their sins were so interwoven with their ministration as priests of the Most High, the work of God was so profaned and dishonored before the people, that no expiation could be accepted for them. Their own father, though himself a high priest, dared not make intercession in their behalf, he could not shield them from the wrath of a holy God. Of all sinners, those are most guilty who cast contempt upon the means that heaven has provided for man's redemption, who crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame.